He's the good shepherd. And the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He said, "I shall not want." He said, "He leadeth me." And I'm glad God does lead us. Yeah. The latter part of that, he said, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And no matter where God leads, that's where we need to be. I heard Brother Michael give his testimony there at the beginning. And I thought about Psalms chapter 39, verse 4, which says, "Lord, help me to know how frail I am." You know, it doesn't really take a whole lot till we realize. I seen Brother Ed had on a brace this morning, and I seen everybody didn't jump to their feet, but we done our best to get to our feet. And he mentioned about him being 50, and I mentioned about me being 60, and there's some in here that would surpass either one of us.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so glad that God is greater than anything that comes our way. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning.
Yes.
But in that last song that Brother Michael sung there in Amazing Grace, said, "I once was blind, but now I see." And I'm going to be preaching today a message called "Born Blind." And we'll take our text out of St. John chapter 9 if you want to be turning there. And I thought about how God put this service together. And I thought, that's amazing. That not only he would sing for his last song, "I once was blind," and I'm going to be preaching today on being born blind. I'll read 10 verses because I'm going to comment on the whole chapter and I don't want to make you stand too long. But I'll read the first 10 verses, and you can read with me this precious word. The Bible talked about in 1 Samuel that the Word of God was precious in those days, and it's still precious in our day. We just don't regard it, but it still is. Let me tell you something. You get in prison, St. John chapter 9, you get in prison, and someone give you a Bible, you'll find out just how precious this Word is. Someone gave David Buckowich, I can't even say his name, son of Sam, one that went by shooting everybody, was possessed of a devil.
Yeah.
Someone slipped a New Testament Bible in his cell, and even though he cursed and had a fit, it just so happened when David Buckowich, I can't say his last name right because it's tough, but when he opened up that little New Testament Bible, he opened it up to Psalms chapter 34, verse number 6. And he read that verse. That verse says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And he fell down there by his bed in that prison cell and said, "God, I am that man. If you could have mercy upon one such as me, I sure would like to have it." He got saved, believe it or not. He got called to preach. He doesn't want to be paroled. He said, "I want to be right here. I deserve this prison time, but while I'm here, I don't want to waste what time I've got."
Yeah.
"And I want to give unto him that give me all things what I've got left." And the son of Sam is a preacher now, and none of us really are much better than him, but we're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. But we'll read 10 verses here real quick. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. His neighbors therefore, and they which were before had seen him that was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? We'll stop our reading right there and go to God in prayer. Like I said, I'm going to be preaching today on Born Blind. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to gather in your house. Lord, our earnest desire today is to be a blessing. Yes. Our earnest desire today is to yield to the beckoning of your will, your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll visit us today. I pray you would take time to sup with us today. It's not that important what I can or cannot do. What's important is that you do what you do. Thank you for visiting Karen's heart. Thank you for blessing Brother Michael and using him. Thank you, Lord, for passing by this little church. Lord, it's preaching time. And I just pray right now you'll set a table that everyone here may partake of the things of God as much as they want, freely. I pray that God, that you would give to them, and may they freely give you the praise and glory for anything said and done. I yield myself, Lord, a vessel. Ask, Father, that you would fill it. And I ask, dear God, that you'd be able to use me, help me. I pray to be submitted and, Lord, to be able to be used of God. I ask that, Father, as humbly as I can. And I thank you for whatever you do and give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The story here, it's quite a story. Born blind. All of us were born blind.
Yes.
Every one of us.
Right.
We can all probably relate to this. And when we finally did get our eyes open, we were led to believe things. I still remember, you know, this is your daddy. And I try to somehow get the word out, and this is your mama. I try to get the words out, mama. And they go a little further. But then they say, this is good, open your mouth, and it was good, and I eat it. And they say, somebody says, this is good, and I go, it wasn't so good. But all of us know what it's like to be born blind.
That's right.
And we know what it's like to have our eyes open.
Yes.
Well, this young man here, Jesus said he was born blind for the glory of God. The same statement's mentioned about Lazarus that had been dead 4 days, and Jesus said, for the glory of God, that he wasn't there to heal Lazarus to the intent that people might believe. Well, this situation is like that too, to the intent that people might believe.
Yeah.
Now, one of the signs of the Messiah was that he would open the eyes of the blind, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 35. And also Jesus, when he went into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and they handed him a book. And by the way, it was the book of Isaiah of all things. And he read that passage. And he said something to the effect of, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they went and verse 21, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they got kind of mad at it. Verse 38, and they rose up, thrust him out, and took him to the edge of the hill where the city was built, that they was going to throw him off, but he passed through the midst of them. He wasn't done. But opening the eyes of the blind. This young boy was born blind for one reason. And the Pharisees, the rulers, knew that when Jesus opened the eyes of this blind boy, they knew that it pointed to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yes.
But like today, Brother Ed, people are in denial. Even though they know better, they still won't do it. You know what I mean? We're in kind of a catch-22. I mean, people know to do good, they just won't do it.
Yeah.
People know they need to get saved, they just won't do it. Right. They know they need to go to church, they just won't do it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of what's going on in our day. But in this situation here, Jesus is using this young boy here. And it's amazing that he opened the eyes of one born blind, and when he done it, some even questioned that the boy was even born blind. You see that in verse number 40 there. And they said, Are we blind also? Well, matter of fact, that ain't the one where the question is being born blind, but they said, are we blind also there in verse number 40? And the Lord, he addressed that, and we'll get that here in a minute. But some also question blindness, some also question sight. Thomas, he wasn't there when the Lord showed up in John 20. And even though he didn't believe the report, he said, except I see him with my own eyes, the nail prints in his hand, and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. And Jesus showed up for Thomas. And you know, we got a lot in common with both of this. Before I was saved, I knew of Jesus. And after I am saved, now I know Jesus.
Yeah.
I know Him personally. I talked with Him this morning. Got up 2 o'clock, had sweet fellowship with Him yesterday too. But you know, we also like that. They questioned Daniel Boone one time. And they asked Daniel Boone if he had ever been lost. And of course, his credibility, character, and being challenged, he said, I've never been lost. He said, I was bewildered one time for 3 weeks, but I've never been lost.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of when we put things, just some way of evading the reality of the fact that you can get lost in the woods. I got lost one time squirrel hunting right across the road in my house, and that woods wasn't big enough. You could shoot a bow from one end to the other, but I got bewildered in that little patch of woods, and if that meant that the car was going by, I don't know if I ever made my way back home or not. But anyway, having eyes, but yet not able to see. Mary Magdalene at the tomb where Jesus had risen from the dead, she's there. She's going to put spices on the body. He ain't there. He done got up. And she sees this man and she thinks it's the gardener. Her eyes are withholding. She don't realize it's Jesus. She comes up to him. Tell him, where are you taking him? And I'll take him away. And he says her name, Mary. And she immediately, Master, she recognizes the voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Cleopas and possibly his wife Mary, which was at the cross where Jesus was crucified, John 19:25. As they were walking on their way to a village called Emmaus, Luke 24:13-31, mentioned that their hearts burned within themselves as they fellowship with this person. They didn't even know who he was. But when it was all said and done, he broke the bread, their eyes was open, and they realized who he was. That's the kind of way we are.
Yes.
The God of this world, he promotes blindness, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, but the God of heaven promotes sight. And he gives sight to anybody that wants it.
Right.
And when you come from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, this is our message today. They'll come out of the woodwork to overthrow what you claim to have.
Yeah.
Now, I can relate to this message today. Oh, wow. They scrutinized this young boy. And they put him, I mean, Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, and he may sift you as wheat. They done this young boy like that. Can you imagine? His parents said he's of age. It must be about 12. I don't know. I don't know his age. I can't even guess it, Tavian. But just say, for instance, he's your age. And he's got his eyes open. Now he ain't blind no more. And here comes the fake news, the media, whatever. And man, they're throwing all that stuff at him. And he's sitting there trying to figure out how to dodge and how to answer and all that right there. Trying to trip him up. Trying to mince words. Trying to somehow overthrow the credibility of the fact that he's blind. Now he sees. Anyway, getting back to the lady. When I got saved April 27th, 1988, I didn't know a whole lot, Karen. But I'm kind of like this boy here. One thing I didn't know, I can see now.
Amen.
I knew a saved.
Right.
You know, I might not be able to put it into words, but here they come. And I heard it, I mean, you know, y'all probably did too.
Yeah.
But I remember being in the restroom. And, you know, I just got saved. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm in there in that restroom, and here come the foreman in. And I wasn't real fluent how to answer certain situations. So Sister Joanne, he says, what do you know? I said, no, I'm saved. He said, you can't know you're saved. I said, I know I'm saved. I said, I don't know about you, but I know I am.
Amen.
And you know, we are supposed to know we're saved.
That's right.
1 John chapter 5, verse 13, God said, these things I've written.
Right.
Melinda, that you may know
that
you have eternal life. That's one thing good to know.
Amen.
Because I sit down with a little girl May 30th, 1995, and she died that day. And that's my daughter. She lived 71 weeks. It's good to know you're saved. She got saved just 10 years old.
Yeah,
we just don't know. Brother Michael sung that song there. Yesterday's gone.
That's right.
Tomorrow may not be.
That's right.
Today is sometimes all we got.
That's right.
I look in them beautiful blue eyes, that beautiful blonde hair, and she our boyfriend, you know, being a father, I'm giving him down the road, and she's kind of getting, kind of irritated a little bit about the fact I'm talking about our boyfriend. And I said, you probably end up marrying that old boy. She said, well, Dad, I do think a lot of him. I said, well, I'll just tell you this, honey. You got my blessing. Just make the best of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's about all you do is make the best of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, unknown to me, unknown to her, that day, that she would be involved in a car wreck. Didn't put a scratch on it, Danny. But it ruptured her spleen. And to our grief, we had to pick her coffin out and make arrangements for her funeral. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way life is. But I'm glad I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I know she's saved. It cushioned.
That's right.
You know, it's hard for a preacher sometimes to make a case when there's not one.
Yeah.
And I've seen them, struggle to try to say something good about somebody when there wasn't nothing good to say there.
All right.
But anyway, in her case, it wasn't that hard. She left behind a testimony and she pleased God. You know, Enoch, he left one behind.
Yeah.
Had to leave a testimony behind.
Yeah.
Let somebody know as well when he's sold. Hey, man, amazing grace prevailed.
Yeah.
And I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I found. Anyway, this young boy here, and I like him, that foreman, what do you know? I said, no, I'm saved. You can't know you're saved. And I said, well, buddy, I do.
Amen.
He's still alive. I had another man come up to me, and he said, heard you got saved. I said, that's right. He said, well, you can't get saved to get baptized. I said, listen, buddy. I said, I got saved April 27, 1988. I said, I got baptized 2 weeks later. I was there at both of them. Don't tell me I didn't get saved all that time. I'm my daughter.
Amen.
You know what he told me, Brother Ed? He said, you can't show me one single. I just got saved. Understand this?
Yeah.
You can't show me one single passage in the Bible that doesn't have baptism mixed with it. I just took him Romans chapter 10, verse 13.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said,
that's right.
I didn't know that was in there. I said, you want some more? He said, then he said he didn't say that later on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad I know I'm saved. And like this young boy here, and just like you. You know, we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro by everyone in the doctrine. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded in faith.
That's right.
You better be ready to give a man an answer.
Right.
They're going to try to talk you out of what you got. I've been beat out of a lot of things, Brother Mitchell. I have. I've been beat out of a lot of things, but I want you to know I'm laying hold on eternal life.
That's right.
Amen.
100 years ago.
That's right.
And somebody said a young boy was flying a kite one day, Sister Rita. And they said it was way up there. And a man came by and he said, what you doing, young man? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I don't see no kite. I ain't know you're flying a kite. He said, every now and then I feel a little tough. Every now and then, Brother Terry, I can feel a little tough. You know?
Right.
And you know what? It's not necessarily all sight.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. I know what I want my faith, but every now and then I like to see a few things. I like to see, like Karen come up here. I like to see that. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But this young boy, they really come against him. And they're going to come against you. One boy that I worked with was there today. I got baptized out at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church, and he came up to me after I got baptized, and I have to admit, it was a tough one. And Sister Joanne, he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. I didn't even argue with it. I was having a hard time with it myself.
Right.
He said, I want to hear your testimony. And Brother Mitchell, I gave my testimony. He said,
shut
my hands, I believe now.
I
admit, buddy, God is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost, all that come to Him, He said, I'll in no wise turn them away. The only problem is, we're just not in a hurry to get to Him.
Yeah.
I do believe if we can see clearly what's coming ahead, like our Sunday school lesson this morning, I'll see there'd be a great revival going on in America even today.
Yes, they would.
I do believe that people can see the signs, and I do. I watch the news. I have to admit, I probably religiously watch the news because I know the Bible to put everything in perspective.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. Not only is our salvation
Rachel.
Yep.
We're getting ready to make our exit. Right. We're getting ready to go to that city's yep. foundation whose builder makes her right. God. Oh. And I can't wait to get
hey. Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I'm glad it's real. I don't know about y'all. I don't have to work it up. I try to hold it back sometimes. Yeah. God said, just let her go, boy.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
I'm what a spirit of the Lord is in living. Sometimes I've got
right.
too much living,
that's
Brother
right.
Richard.
Amen.
But this young boy here, he's just got his eyes open. And here come the critics.
Yeah.
And we'll preach as fast as we can here. His credibility is immediately attacked. I mean, this young boy is a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, the Lord has made a difference. His parents don't understand it. His neighbors don't understand it. Those that seen him before don't understand it. And in verse 9, which is what we read in part of our reading there, some said, and they're going to say all kind of manner about you too. So get a hide like a rhinoceros. Don't be so thin-skinned. Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. You're going to have to stand on your own feet. You're going to have to say, yeah, I am saved. I mean, buddy, his credibility is attacked. They said it wasn't him. And then, how were your eyes open? Verse 10, you see that? How? They're going to ask you to tell how you were saved. And believe you me, that's tough in the day and hour we're living in.
Yeah.
We're in the Laodicean,
amen.
Lukewarm. Man, love of many wax cold. Man, you got to drop a lot of miles. You're some real this thing. I will admit.
Right.
Right. I'll tell you what, buddy. Jesus talked about he was going to wax worse and worse under the end. Evil seducers, men. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that I got in a real church, got really saved. And,
yeah.
and I'm glad, praise God, I don't even right. worry about it. Nobody else may not believe it, but praise God I did. But anyway, they said, how were your eyes open? In verse 10, they asked him again in verse 15. They asked him again in verse number 26. And you're going to be asked too, and you better be ready to give an answer. I want you to know your credibility like this Amen. Young boy right here is going to be attacked.
Preach it now.
Amen.
Come on.
And not only was his credibility, you know, that he really was born blind, and then how did you get your eyes open? And you may get tired of telling me, Rita. But they need to hear it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Right.
They do.
We need to be
Amen.
Willing to tell them.
That's right.
Exactly. We need to be willing.
Amen.
To praise, testimony.
Yes.
Right. They don't know how they're going to find out if we don't tell them. The Bible right. says, "Let right. the name of the Lord."
Right. Amen. That's
so
right.
We don't need to be
right.
so mean about it. We need to say, "Let me tell you what the Lord done for me."
That's right.
I mean, telling them a song, telling them preaching, telling them just plain old conversation, but tell what great thing the Lord has done for you. Amen. I mean, what he reached down for me, he had to reach way down, but he did, and he lifted me up, and got my feet out of the miry clay, and he put them on a rock, and established my goings, and put a song in my heart, even praise to his name. Amen. I can't sing a lick, but I got a song in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
And he had to just keep telling them how his eyes got open. You may get tired of telling people, but you just might well get used to it. It goes with the territory.
Yeah, right.
Not only was his credibility attacked, but his character was attacked.
Uh-huh.
And you can see there where they questioned his parents there in verse 19. They asked him, says, is your son? Who do you say was born blind? Now they're giving them a little bit of heat here.
Yeah, that's right.
This is their boy.
Amen.
And I mean, they put a little, they can't get no word of him, so they moved on to the parents.
Yeah.
Who do you say was born blind?
Yeah.
I mean, we right. say they never was born blind. He says he is. You say, yeah. well, what's the story here?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know what I mean? You got, it's kind of got a ripple effect.
That's yeah. right.
Everyone rock in the creek.
Yeah.
And they just keep going.
Yeah.
Well, it's a town like that. Hey, it's not reached the edge. It hasn't started coming back yet. But the ripple effect's reached all the way up to the parents now. And they're under a little bit of pressure here. And they said, who do you say were born blind? How then doeth... They're asking the wrong one, by the way. How then doeth he now see?
Yeah.
And his parents, at least they had no sense to say this. His parents answered them and said, We know this our son. We know he's born blind. But by what means he now sinned, we know not.
Yeah.
Or who had opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. That is what you need to do.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. The Bible says a true witness delivers souls.
Yeah.
So if a true witness delivers souls, what's a Jehovah's Witness do?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'll answer that for you. It's found in Matthew chapter 23. They can pass land and sea and make one proselyte, and when they make him, they make him a twofold more child of hell than themselves.
Yeah.
You better be careful what you swallow.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, some people got more faith than I do. They'll take $500 pills a day. I'm stubborn for one thing. I ain't got that much confidence in doctors for another thing. I will go when I have to, but ain't got to have to yet, and I may have to eat these words for the week's over. But I'll tell you one thing, I have to have a lot of confidence in before I let it. Remember, they're practicing physicians, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. And, amen.
I had one practice on me one time, and I hadn't been back to him since. I really didn't agree with everything he said, but I sure didn't agree with the results of it. Now, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to pay somebody to do something, and I'm going to get something in return.
That's right. You know what
I mean? He looked at me like dollar signs in his eye, and I sat there thinking, okay, but I got insurance, but I ain't stupid.
Amen.
Anyway,
amen.
It's probably been 25 years since I've been to a doctor. Maybe longer than that. But anyway, they said he's of age. Ask him. That's who they need to ask. They said he'll speak for himself. And the words that they spake to his parents, because they feared the Jews.
Yeah.
You know, fear will cause you to cower down. And they cowered down. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. Now they hated Christ without a cause. And that hatred for Christ has now fell upon this young boy. And even though he really didn't know how to say it, and I do need to read that, when he was put on the spot, they asked him, how were your eyes open? And he said, verse 11, he answered and said, a man that's called Jesus. Boy, that I tell you right now, that got an immediate response. A man that's called Jesus. You mention that name, buddy, you better be ready for a fight.
That's right.
Made clay and anointed my eyes. I personally believe he made him a set of eyes. I don't know, and I certainly don't want to be dogmatic about it. I certainly don't want to strain a camel and swallow a gnat, or strain a gnat and swallow a camel. But anyway, he anointed his eyes with spittle and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He said, and I went and I washed. And I came receiving my sight, amen. I mean, you just can't argue with his testimony. He's born blind. I've done what Jesus said. I can see now. I tell you, if you do what Jesus says, you'll see too, amen. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. You just better be ready, buddy. They're going to try to trip you up.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to try to talk you out of what you got. If they can talk you out, you know, I've told y'all when I first come up here, if old Brother Eddie can rock your boat, don't blame me for it.
That's right.
I should be able to rock your boat. Amen.
That's right.
You'll be able to sit there and say, amen, preacher.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, people get their boat rocked and they blame somebody for rocking their boat.
Right, yeah. Right.
Just fix the boat.
That's
you know what I mean?
Right,
I mean, buddy, I'm in the good ship.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm going.
There you go.
All the way. But if old Brother Eddie can rock your boat, ship of Zion, that's what I was trying to spit out a minute ago. I'm in the ship of Zion. But anyway, they said, where is he? He said, I don't know. You know, they tell me, I probably do way too much social media, but they tell me as I'm responding to some of the things like praying and stuff on social media. They say, have you ever seen God? I said, no, I've seen him work. And they say, how you know there is God? I said, how you know there ain't?
Yeah.
I'm an angel fool going to the Father,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They said, well, if I could just see him, I'd believe him. I said, well, where's your faith at then?
Yeah,
Jesus,
right.
He rebuked Amen. Thomas. He said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. That's faith.
Yes, it is.
But you know, this world, they're skeptics, they're scoffers, they're everything except believers. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're as far right, I mean, mean, farthest right off this board, just got saved. Said, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know. So they take it a step further and they bring him to the Pharisees. Now that's the religious rulers there. Yeah, they bring him to the Pharisees that was aforetime blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. Have you ever noticed every work Jesus did, he did it on the Sabbath day?
That's right.
Does anybody know why he done that? I mean, you do raise your hands. Does anybody know why he done every work he done on the Sabbath day? Does anybody know? See, they, what is it, my mind?
He was born on the Sabbath.
Well, they made a God out of the day.
Yeah.
Now, God has made the day for man to be able to give glory to God. He said,
right.
Well, there it is. Remember the Sabbath, keep it whole.
Yeah.
There it is right there.
Amen.
And God gave them that day to rest. 6 days, man, shall work. On the seventh day, thou shalt not work. It's the Sabbath day. Now, I don't worship God on Saturday, don't get me wrong. And if you read the book of Colossians, you won't either. And, you know, a lot of people, they just need to read the Bible. And I can't make them read, but I can help them understand what's in there because I have read it all the way through 17 times. And I was on my 18th time when my mother died and I just laid it aside and I've been gluing off of that ever since. I was on my 18th journey. And I've read it many other times, like New Testament through a million times and read here, there, a lot. As far as every year devotionally reading it all the way through, I've done that for 17 straight years. And I was surprised how much I learned. I didn't realize how much I learned until I started gleaning, but Daddy, from what I'd actually learned from reading God's Word. But getting back to what I was saying there, they brought him to the rulers, the religious rulers of that day, and that's what they're doing to you. Jesus said they'll bring in the synagogues. Then they come up to him, and it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight, and he said, and gives his testimony again. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see, and therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Now they're going to say all manner of evil about you, but they're also going to try to say the same about your Savior. And they said, this man is not of God. And we're going to clear that up here in a minute. They said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath.
That's right.
Now he's doing all these works on the Sabbath day so that they'll somehow understand it's just a day. They lost the whole meaning, the whole message of the Sabbath day, and they had made it into a God, and it was actually in the way of them believing on God. He's just, kind of, for lack of better words, trying to show them it's a day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? Now, it's kind of hard to argue with this. So there's a division among them. You got some people that can actually see what happened, and you got other people that says it can't happen. It's on the Sabbath day. This man can't be a God. So they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now that's a true statement. He was. And he had, like I said, all the signs of the Messiah, and he was a prophet. And everything this young boy has said about his Savior, I guess he's saying it in faith, or maybe he's just saying, you know, what he believes. But anyway, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been born, that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight and asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then do we now see? And I know we've done read this. But anyway, we'll get on up there. They said, verse 23, let's go back to verse 22 because that's important. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. You know, it'll cost you something to stand for the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men revile you for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5. You know, the reproach of us fell upon him. And Joanne, he was crucified because of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Now the reproach of him is upon us.
Right.
That's right.
And all we we've got just light affliction, but boy, we sure do make a big ado about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But he took the full effect of our sins upon him, took it all the way to Calvary, gave his life a sacrifice,
yes,
a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And not only that, he rose again for our justification. But anyway, the trap here is Christ. And the parents didn't want to get in this trap, so they say, he's of age, ask him. So then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. Now you're going to have to deal with this kind of stuff even today. There's a lot of people who have the wrong opinion of this Bible, of the God of heaven. Some people think Jesus is just a fairy tale. Josephus, which wasn't a Christian, he was a historian in the days of Jesus, wrote about Jesus, but that ain't good enough. All the artifacts they find, they're all identical to the Bible. That's not good enough. People get saved. I mean, you got so great a cloud of witnesses, but that ain't good enough. But I'll tell you what, you still need to go, and you still need to tell what great things the Lord has done for you.
Right.
There's some people this young boy Tegan can win that I can't. They're young, and they'll listen to him, where if I talk to him, they say, but they'll listen to him.
Amen.
There's some people I can talk to that he can't talk to. They look at him like, you telling me? And that's kind of where we're at. We're his witnesses.
Yes, that's right.
We are.
And we're here, his ambassadors, to carry the message
right.
That Christ Jesus came this world to save sinners.
You're right.
And Paul said, of whom I'm chief, he can save the chiefest of sinners. He can sure save common sinners like you and me. But anyway, he's attacked. And again they called and said, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, and this is quite a witness right here. One thing I know, and you better have one thing you know.
That's right.
He said, one thing I know, Brother Mitchell. I like this. That whereas I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad there's a day in my life that I can truly testify that I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be saved. And then, you know, Brother Michael sung that song there about Amazing Grace.
Right.
Said the hour I first believed. And I still remember my trembling soul at my bedroom, kneeling at my bed, April 27th, 9000 Edmund Road, 1988. I still remember trembling. And in somewhat fear, would God forgive me?
Yeah.
Could
That's
God
right.
forgive me?
Yeah.
Is it true? Is it possible that he could save one such as I? I mean, you read that verse there, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Lord says, come now, saith the Lord. He's doing talking. Mm-hmm. Let us reason together.
Right.
Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow.
Right.
Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. He's the only one that can. But I still remember in deep contrition, I remember in fear, Rita, somebody told me the unthinkable. They said, Eddie, Jesus loves you.
Right.
They said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for you to ask him. And I believe it.
That's right. That's right.
I did.
Amen.
I believed it, Belinda.
Amen.
I believed he loved me.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Amen.
Couldn't explain it, but somehow or another I believed it.
Right.
But I still kind of wondered if he could forgive all that I'd done, because boy, I had been so mean. Mm-hmm. And I knelt down there, and I mean, I've got condemnation, I've got guilt. I'm so convicted, I'm at the end of my rope. And I didn't really know how to pray. I'm about like this boy right here. I didn't know much of nothing. One thing I did know when I got saved, I knew I was blind now, I could see. But anyway, I remember I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you loved me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you, you'd forgive me my sins, you'd save my soul. And here's what I said, Brother Ed. I said, the best way I know how, right
Amen.
Here, right now,
That's
I'm
right.
asking you to forgive me my sin and save my soul. And Brother Mitchell, immediately,
yeah,
I mean
That's
immediately,
right.
the condemnation,
Amen.
The guilt, the conviction, it
yeah.
left immediately
That's
in the
right.
peace of
That's
God.
Right.
My soul. The joy unspeakable
right.
took its place.
Yeah.
I got up, Belinda went and looked in the mirror.
Amen.
I guess I thought I was going to have a halo. I don't know. I might have screwed it. But I looked in the mirror. I couldn't see no difference. But boy, it sure was different. I went through like what this boy went through. Man, you talk about screwing me. I mean, they come out of the woodwork. This young boy, his credibility is attacked. His character is attacked. They take that to question his parents. They call him a liar. Verse number 24. Look here. They said, "We know this man's a sinner. Give God the praise." They said, "Ain't no way Jesus could open your eyes." They call him a liar. They call him a sinner. Verse 34. I'm jumping around a little bit, but I realize we went overtime here. Hey, they call him. They said in verse 34, they said, "You're altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us?" And they cast him out.
That's right.
They called him a follower. Look at verse 28. They reviled him. Brother Mitchell, they said, "Thou art his disciple." They accused him of being a follower.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to say, you're just putting on a show here. They said, "But we are Moses' disciples. You're going to go through these same things." But I want to go back to verse 26. I'll stop there in verse 25 because I want to finish this out. Then say they unto him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" Mm-hmm. He answered them and said, "I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" I mean, he's getting a little bit bold. The Bible said the righteous are bold as lightning.
Yeah.
He's getting a little bit bold now.
Yeah.
And then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is." They were just in denial. He done showed them who he was.
Right.
Even this young boy here getting his sight is also a testimony of who Jesus was. The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened my..." It's kind of hard to argue. Well, this young boy here, he can see now. He's been blind since birth. I don't know how old he was. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." That's quite a testimony.
Right.
"But they answered and said unto him, Thou was altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out." They rejected what they heard. They throwed him out. And it's kind of good that they did. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, until he got thrown out, we'll get that here in just a second. His testimony is challenged. He's done give it to the neighbors, the strangers. He's done give it to the Pharisees. He's given it again in the synagogue. They throwed him out. Best thing that ever happened to him, by the way. And when they throwed him out, Jesus found him out. You see that, verse number 35.
Right.
Jesus heard they cast him out. And when he found him out,
right.
He said, amen, said Kevin. He said unto him, "Doest thou believe on the Son of God?" Now, I mean, he don't really know what to say here.
Yeah.
I've been in some of them situations. When you get asked a question, you don't really know what to say. And the Lord says to him, and he's like Mary Magdalene, he don't know really who this is that's talking. He's like Cleopas and his wife, or maybe a friend that was on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord joined their company. He don't really know who this is. And the Lord heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Doest thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answers, and he answers honestly. And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus answered him. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Look at verse 38. And he said, "Lord,
yeah.
I believe," and he worshipped him. Now, I want you to know, a lot of people don't consider Jesus to be God. But this one verse, if nothing else, he worshipped him.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
He worshipped Jesus. And he said, if any man be a worshiper of God, the same is known to him. And he's getting an opportunity now to do what he said. If any man be a worshiper of God, he said he's known to him. And here he is getting a chance to worship God. Verse 31, if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He worships the Lord as God. And Jesus says, while he's worshiping him, "For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see, wait a minute, they which see not, you got to read this right here, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Yeah. That's quite a statement for Jesus to say.
Right.
And some of the Pharisees heard what he said. And therefore some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should say, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. You remember what happened to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed that one commandment?
Yeah.
What did it say about them, Brother Ed?
Did they truly die?
Said their eyes was open.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they knew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. They might not know what to do about it.
That's right.
But now they know.
Yeah.
Their innocence
right.
is gone.
Right.
That's why Jesus said what he said there.
He
said, if you didn't see, you wouldn't be guilty, but now you say we see.
Right.
And let me say this. The blindness of the lost, they're never going to make it until we bring the light to them.
Yeah.
And they see what we've seen.
Amen.
And they believe, like this young boy did, he might not have been able to put it into words, but I'll tell you what, he didn't throw in the towel neither. You're going to go through the same thing. You're going to try to talk you right, what you know to be true.
Right, man.
You're going to have to stand, have a new all, stand there with, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Find my brethren, be strong, the Lord and power is might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There ain't no escape, there ain't no way of getting out of it. It's just part of the territory, just for lack of a better word, suit up. War, good warfare. Father, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to take a simple passage and bring out a great truth.
Yes.
And I pray to Father God today that maybe something said will help somebody. Lord, to prepare them maybe for what's down the road. I don't know. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just delivering the message.
Yes.
But Lord, you're the one, Lord, that answers. You're the one that acts upon the words that have been spoken. And Lord, if something needs to be done, I pray you'll be the one that will be the one to do it. And I'll give you praise and glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Brother Jerry, Sister Sharon, if you would please sing us a verse of invitational hymn. You know, the world's lost.
Yeah.
They're blind leaders of the blind.
Mm-hmm.
They're headed for the ditch.
Amen.
Only thing going to keep them from falling into it is those of us that had our eyes open are willing to do something about their condition.
Right.
Willing to tell them, like that little Jewish maid told Naaman, would to God that my Lord would go to Jerusalem. There's a prophet there
right.
to help him with his leprosy. And man, he might not have understood it, but he went.
Right.
And he finally got cured.
Amen.
That's what we are.